Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whittaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. Hello and welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. This is episode 94 and I'm your host, Wendy Whittaker-Large. I'm delighted to be with you this morning. Today's episode is slightly different. I don't have a guest to interview today and I decided that it would be a great idea over the next few weeks for me to cover some of my five-step system to creating a profitable HMO portfolio. This is something I get asked for a lot. Wendy, please, can you go over your system? So I thought that I would start a mini-series on the podcast over the next few weeks covering the five steps, but also looking in detail at some of the other areas which baffle people when they're first starting to look for HMOs. So today, what I want to look at is creating a pipeline of deals. The two issues that you're going to have when you're starting off in HMOs is finding deals and finding money. And actually, as you grow as an investor, you develop your portfolio, this becomes more and more of an issue. You want more deals and you want more money. Of course, you get much better at doing both. You get better at finding the money. You get better at networking. You get into, but you develop relationships. You expand and explore your network, which, of course, is the key to growing your net worth. But you also get better at finding deals. So this is a skill that needs to be learned, and it's a practice. It's something which you really, once you start doing, you must not stop. You must commit yourself to finding those deals. One of the things I've learned on my journey is early on, I would find deals which I thought were pretty good, but maybe didn't stack up in some way for me. And I would just let them go. I would either, forget about them or leave them or do nothing with them. And what I've learned over time is that for other people, those can work really well. It might be they're in a different financial position. They might have a different goal or they might have a different outcome. You don't know. But it's a shame if you find a really good deal to let it go because for some reason it doesn't work for you. In some cases, in my case, it was because it was out of my area. So how do you create a pipeline of deals? What's the process? What's the system? What are some of the practical things you should be doing to make sure that week in, week out, you're not kind of having that feeling of, oh, there's nothing out there, there's no property to buy, I'm really struggling, what do I do? I believe that one of the biggest causes of failure in property is a failure to take action. If you are wanting to build a property portfolio that's going to release you from your job, that's going to give you a second income, that's going to build a legacy for your children or a pension pot for yourself, all of those things, then it's going to take time, effort, work, and action. So today I want to go through some of those really clear, easy steps. The great thing is you don't need a degree in property to do this. You don't need any special qualifications to do this. You just need to make a commitment that you're going to make this happen. So are you with me today? Say, yes, Wendy.
Yes, Wendy.
Brilliant. That is what I love to hear. Commitment and dedication to making this happen. So these are the four things that you need. Number one is you need a process. Without a process, it's very, very easy to get lost in the whole activity. You don't know where you start, where you end, how to evaluate what you're doing. So number one is a process. Number two is you need perception. And I'm going to cover what I mean by that. Number three is you need paperwork. So you've got to have some way of sealing the deal, and paperwork and a process for that paperwork is critical. And number four is persistence. So process, perception, paperwork, and persistence. Without a process, you won't be able to create a steady stream of potential property deals. Without perception, you could uncover a wealth of amazing properties but not know what to do with them. Without paperwork, you can't finalize the deal. and without persistence, you can't grow wealthy. And as you can see, only two of these are practical actions. The other two are personal attributes. They're mindset attributes that you need to grow and develop. So let's talk first of all about the process. Well, I believe that the best way to start looking for deals is to sit down and design a campaign. Now, why do I say that? Well, because I think that a campaign gives you a start and an end date. It gives some kind of definition to your activity and it gives you a clear purpose. It also means that you can stop that campaign when you choose. So you might decide, okay, today is the 8th of September, the day on which I'm recording this podcast, and you might say, I'm going to run this campaign till the 15th of December. So you give yourself about 12 weeks to run the campaign. And then at the end of the campaign, you evaluate what happened, what went well, what didn't go so well, what you've learned and what you do next time. If you find that you are on this roller coaster of emotion when it comes to finding deals, it's probably because you haven't got a campaign, you haven't got a start date, you haven't got a stop date. Now, a campaign that lasts for about 12 weeks is probably going to have three sections in it, probably three lots of 4 weeks. And I would recommend that you design a 4-week campaign. So you might want to then run this campaign for three times over those 12 weeks. The first step is to define your particular target area. Where is it that you're looking for properties? Now, this probably needs to be no more than 2 to 3 square miles. Why do I say that? Because otherwise you're going to have too wide a search area. You may decide that you're looking at two areas initially and then you focus in on one of those areas. But it's very important that you do not try and scour the whole country for deals. Try and get your goldmine area. Try and find your property hotspot. Because in finding that property hotspot, you can be the expert in that area. You can get to know all the agents in the area. You can start to be known as you walk around the streets. You might start to do your own leaflet deliveries, for example, which again, we'll come on to. But finding that defined area means that you know those streets inside and out. So that when somebody says to you, oh, I think there's a property available on Grosvenor Avenue, you know exactly where that is. You know what Grosvenor Avenue looks like. You know the kinds of properties that are there. You might even know how many HMOs are already on that street. So it really, really helps when it comes to understanding your particular potential hotspot is being an expert in that area. The first practical tool that you'll need is a map. Now, I always recommend that you actually get a paper ordnance survey map. Google Maps is great. It gives you street views. You can take a really good overview of an area. You can define your area. You know, there's loads of benefits to using the electronic tools that are out there and available. But there's nothing quite like actually having an ordnance survey map in your hand that you can literally get a big pen and square off and say, right, that is my area. You can pin it up on your notice board at home. You can look at it every morning. You can give yourself some focus. And remember, we're looking not just at process, we're looking at persistence here as well. So you've got to develop tools that are going to help you when you wake up in the morning, maybe getting the kids ready for school or taking the dog for a walk, getting ready for work. But in your mind is already awakening to the possibilities of that particular area bringing you a deal. So with that map, you can define the physical area that you're going to start to target. And then what you want to do is also find the postcodes that are related to that area. So this will be all those postcodes in that particular map area. Now, the next thing I would suggest is that you want to locate all the shops, post offices, takeaways, supermarkets, bus stations, all the things that are important in that location. Why is that important? Well, because when you understand the physical layout of the area, if you find that you're getting more than one deal, you can assess how good is it in terms of location to some of those practical things that tenants in HMOs need. They need somewhere where they can go and buy a small pint of milk, for example. They're not going to be buying necessarily a sort of four pinter. They want to buy, or 4 litres. They want to buy something which, you know, is suitable for them living on their own in an HMO room. So a corner shop or a small supermarket, for example. If you've identified the physical layout of your local area, then it gives you, again, it gives you strength and knowledge when it comes to assessing deals. Now, the next thing you want to do is to get some leaflets and banners designed that tell people about you and how you can help them. So we're going to start to do some direct-to-vendor marketing here. 97% of sales that happen in the property world happen via an estate agent. So don't be scared of using estate agents. Most of my deals have come through estate agents. Not all of them have been on the open market, but I would say the majority of my deals have one way or another come through an estate agent. However, 3% of deals do not come through an estate agent. And that's where you, as a local property person who is going to repeat this process more than once, and in doing so, tell your audience that you are persistent and that you are going to continue until you find that deal. And that's a very important feature. How many times have you seen somebody appear and then disappear? Well, property people, or people who own property and maybe are thinking of selling their property, that's why they use a high street estate agent very often, or possibly an online estate agent, because that person is permanent. That person is reliable. That person is dependable. They're not just a fly-by-night. And too often in property, I see this, and you probably see this as well, there are lots of fly-by-nights, people who start with a big bang. Whoa, yes, an amazing star. They're going to take over your world. They're going to take over the local area and become the next big property person. And within 2 or 3 years, poof, they've fallen apart. Something's happened. You know, they haven't built their business correctly. They haven't been on strong foundations. And usually it's because, of course, one of these issues, one of these P's is missing. They don't have a process. They lack perception. They don't have paperwork and they haven't got persistence. Something's gone wrong and their business either folds or suddenly the shining star fails and they are no more that shining star. If you want to be seen to be somebody who is committed and who can help other people in selling their property, then you do not want to be appearing to be that shining star, the bright light that appears and then fades very quickly. And this is where having a campaign that you run regularly throughout the year is critical. Now, leaflets and banners are great. Some printers will provide ready-made templates that you can use for this. You can get them online. Make sure that the leaflet is not too wordy. Make sure that it points out how you can help people. And one of the things that I always recommend is at the bottom of the leaflet, you might say something like, for a free, confidential, no obligation call, please phone. And then I put my name, and actually I've got a separate mobile phone number that I use. So that any phone calls that come through on that number, I know they're responding to my leaflet or my banners. So it's a separate one from my normal mobile phone. And that is a very, very important aspect of it, that you're allowing people to contact you. There's no obligation. You're not putting pressure on them. But if they respond to the message on the leaflet, which might be something like, if you want to sell your house fast, I can help you. I can give you a cash offer within 48 hours, particularly if you are, you might say something like, particularly if one of the following applies to you. Is it a sale of a relative's house who's died, probate? Is it that you're downsizing? Possibly you're going through a divorce, or maybe there's some other reason why you want to sell fast. If so, I can help you. I'm a local knowledgeable expert, but I offer a free, no obligation, confidential call to help decide whether this is the right route for you. So the leaflet needs to be simple, needs to be clear, it needs to be bright, but it needs to say very, very clearly what it is that you're looking for. And there's lots of other designs that you can adopt. I've also seen designs that make it look like a letter, a personal letter. You know, dear such and such, I'm looking for one property in this particular area. I've got 2 children, and I'm looking to find a property that I can add some value to, and I was very interested in your house. Now, this might be a general leaflet that you put through the door, but again, I've seen a letter format that can work quite well. Once you've got enough leaflets, then you are going to want to launch your campaign. Make sure that you order enough leaflets for 3 campaign runs, because remember, you're doing a 12-week campaign and each campaign is going to be 4 weeks long. Now, I wouldn't recommend that you deliver these leaflets yourself, but I would recommend that you keep some in the boot of your car or in your backpack if you walk a lot, trying to reduce our carbon footprint. So you might decide to do this on your bike or just walking around the streets. And actually doing some leafleting is going to give you a really good insight into your local area. However, on the whole, you want to be outsourcing this to another company, because who's got time to walk the streets and leaflet? So find a reputable leaflet delivery service. There are many ways you can achieve this. One would be by working with a local takeaway service who are maybe already delivering leaflets for the takeaway in their area. You can hire independent leaflet distributors and make sure that you have a way of spot testing coverage of how they're dropping those leaflets. Many of them will have GPS trackers in their leaflet delivery bags, so afterwards you can see the route that they've covered. And I would also spot test. I would perhaps knock on a couple of doors and make sure those people have had those leaflets. Many of those leaflets will go straight in the bin, so don't be surprised if on the first run you don't get much of a response. But this is why you're building up your reputation. You're launching a new business, and doing it once is simply not enough. You have to do this probably 7 or 8 times before people will start to sit up and take notice. So yes, there is a cost involved. Yes, there is an investment involved. But I know from personal experience how effective leafleting can be to find those houses and actually to find the owners of those houses. You see, when you're doing a direct-to-vendor deal, actually, it's not just the property that's important, it's the person. If you can find a person who is motivated, a person who needs a speedy and quick sale, they might be willing to do a creative deal with you, like a lease option, for example. They might be willing to do a delayed completion. They might allow you to do a rent-to-rent. There may be other solutions that don't require you to put down your hard-earned cash to do a traditional conveyance on that property. And that's why it's important that you see this as a campaign to find people, not just property. Now, the other thing is postcards. So you can do leaflets, you can put up banners. Banners can sometimes be removed by the local council because theoretically you're supposed to get planning permission before you put banners up. But often you can find that independent shopkeepers or petrol stations are good bets for hosting your banner. They don't mind. It's their forecourt or it's their land, so they're happy to put one up. You could give them a few pounds or give them some bonus. For example, if somebody comes in and responds to the advert, maybe a £50 referral fee, for example. The other one is postcards. So we've had a lot of success putting up postcards in local shop windows, the co-op, post offices, and that is going to obviously have slightly less space on it. So the wording that we have tended to use on our postcodes would be something like this. So take note. Struggling to sell your house? Do you need to move fast? I am looking for a house to buy and might be able to help you. Please get in touch to see if I can help. Please call Wendy on da 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 da, and then I put my number on the bottom of that. And it's a very simple postcard, got a picture of me on it, and it simply says, if you're trying to sell your house, please contact me. We've had a lot of success with postcards. Quite often people will take a photo of it and then give me a ring, and I've had leads from all sorts of different people. People who have said, oh, my auntie's trying to sell her house, could you help? My neighbour's trying to sell his house, could you help? So I've found postcards actually to be more effective than leaflets. But this is another tool for your toolkit that you need to be developing. Now, another direct-to-vendor suggestion strategy is a direct to landlord letter. Now, there is a letter that you can download from our website, my publishing website, centreround.co.uk, and I will put the link on the bottom of the podcast notes. And the letter is really direct, friendly, and polite. It states what benefit you can offer to a landlord and how you can help them. Direct to landlord letters can seem a little bit endless, because you might find that you write your direct to landlord letter, you send them off, you're very hopeful that you're going to get some responses, and nothing. And it can feel like that when you're running campaigns, that you get very, very little back initially. And this is why persistence is so important. In my experience, I regularly get letters from what I would call well-meaning investors. They found my details online, they've looked on the HMO registry, and quite often they're either offering to help me rent my properties, or they are obviously interested in a rent-to-rent deal or guaranteed rent. Now, I never respond until I've seen at least a second and possibly even a third letter. I mean, to be truthful, of course, I'm not really interested in doing those kind of deals with people, so it doesn't go very far. But what I'm looking for is somebody who is consistent and persistent. And remember that landlords who may be ready to sell want to know that you are committed. One letter is not a sign of commitment. Another great tip is to incentivize your recipients in some way to meet you. A few years ago, I mentored a female partnership and they had no money to invest, so they were really looking for rent-to-rent deals. And I said they've got to find a way of standing out from the crowd, because lots of people write letters, and I can usually tell when somebody's been doing a no money down course, because I suddenly get a flood of letters and I think, oh yes, I know what's just been happening. So they decided that what they would do is, rather than just offer to meet up for a coffee with the landlord, they offered to give a Costa voucher or a local coffee shop voucher in the letter. So what they did was they put in, I think, I don't know, a £5 voucher from a local coffee shop, and said that if the landlord did not want to meet them in person, they would put in a free voucher in a letter for that landlord. And actually, this worked a treat. They had a number of calls from investors, and it led to their first profitable rent-to-rent deal, which made them over £800 a month profit. So the key is to be different. Find a way to offer something initially to those landlords, whether it is some nugget of wisdom, some kind of value, some kind of offering, maybe even a copy of my book, something which is going to say to that landlord, I care about you. I believe that I can offer value to you, and you matter to me, and it's not just a numbers game. Now, as part of your campaign, the process that we are looking at here in this 12-week period, your campaign should also include some time to contact all the people like estate agents that you've maybe already started to engage with. And you should network like crazy, because property is a people game. The more people you meet, the more meetings you get out there. And I'm not just talking about property networking meetings, business networking meetings, and other meetings where you're going to be meeting potential investors or even potential vendors. Network like crazy. That needs to be a key part of your activity every week. You're going to have to plan your diary so you give yourself deadlines and structure. And remember, we're looking at this over a period of 12 weeks. We've got three sections of 4 weeks each. So as long as you plan it, as long as you prioritize, as long as you prepare, you will be able to cover all of these actions in 12 weeks. Now, once the 12 weeks is over and you have seen how many times your leaflet went out, you've made a note of where all your postcards are up in those different shops, you've perhaps put up a few banners, you've been speaking to some local shopkeepers, you might have even met some people as you have been out and about walking, and you might have given them one of your leaflets. You might have incentivized people by giving them a £50 referral fee if it leads to a deal. All of these different activities, they're like sowing seeds. And once you have completed that 12-week period, you need to then stop. It's very important that you sit down and say, okay, what results have I had? Have I had any responses at all? Has anybody responded to any of the different types of material that I've put out? And which one was it that seemed to work best? Where did I get the best response from? So you need to spend some time analysing what went well and what didn't. In some areas and at certain times of the year, you'll find leaflets work really well. At other times, you'll find they're a complete waste of time. Sometimes you'll find postcards work very well. Other times, it's direct to landlord letters. This is why your campaign needs to include all these different approaches, because just focusing on one approach is only going to give you a one-sided feedback mechanism, and it's not going to allow you to really understand how that campaign is working. Now remember, it takes time and experience to execute a great campaign. You now need to wait for those seeds to start being planted, to flourish, and then you're planning your next campaign. And during that time, you can follow up any leads that you've generated and start to put into process the next stage of your campaign. So that is the first step in creating a pipeline of deals. Number one, process. And in the next episode, I'm going to talk to you about perception. I look forward to speaking to you very soon. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.